The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Don't know why they did this. Have you seen this video? It's a bunch of topless women, but they have over their area, they have the Ukraine flag painted.
Yeah, and then they hold Ukraine flags as well.
Yeah, and flares and stuff.
So, not directly in front of the Eiffel Tower, but you can see the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, the Eiffel Tower is in the background.
Yeah, say show of support. I don't know why you need to be topless.
Why do you have to be topless? Well, so I guess that's the only way you're going to get attention. Yeah.
I guess that's the way to do it. So support for the Ukraine in every shape and form.
You know, a lot of protesting going on in Russia and I don't know how it's going to end, but it sure doesn't look good for Mr. Putin. I'm worried about him.
You are?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about him. I'm like Lindsey Graham. Somebody kill him. Oh, well.
And people are like, could you?
Why would people be upset with Lindsey Graham over that?
They're saying, hey, could you not inflame? And
inflame what?
From what I saw, it was like, as an American lawmaker, could you not openly suggest that someone in that country go out and kill
a dictator?
Yeah, because they say he'll use it as an example of, look, this is what we're fighting against, the awful Americans, when I guess at this point the war in Russia isn't looked at favorably.
He needs more bulletin board material.
Well, that's what they're saying. Hey, that stop putting stuff on the board when right now the war is not looked at favorably in Russia. And that's one of the thoughts about why America's not getting directly involved, because if we get involved, then it kind of galvanizes the Russians and go, hey, now we have someone who doesn't look like us that we're fighting, when really right now they're killing like their brothers in the Ukraine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, forever they were brothers, and now let's go kill everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. Anyway, 713-780-3776. We'll get some NFL news from the weekend in just a minute. But Longhorn Scott wants to get in here. Maybe he was. Longhorn Scott, you go to the games at Minute Maid?
Well, John, I mean, I would ask you that, or I'd answer your question by asking you another question. Yeah, and that is the Pope Catholic? Yeah, of course I went.
I didn't know of course you would go.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, you live here in Houston, and the Horns don't come here all that often. So, yeah, you're going to go watch them. They do a great job with that. They're really getting a lot of good big-name teams. It's a great environment. I mean, did you go, John, on Saturday?
I did not. I was in a golf tournament this weekend.
You know,
that's why I had to go to Cyrano on Friday night.
You didn't have to go to Cyrano. Yeah,
well, I did have to go to Cyrano because my wife wanted to go, and I wanted to play golf all weekend.
You make concessions.
Yeah. That's right. I went to the bargaining table and won.
So you're better at it than the MLB and the MLBPA.
Yes, much better.
Yeah.
So how was it there?
Well, as usual, you know, it's a great ballpark, obviously, and it's a lot of fun when you get not only one set of fans that are, you know, into it, but two. And I got to say, I'll say a general tip of the hat to the LSU folks, because, and I don't know if it's just because There's so many of them that live here. I went with a buddy who's an LSU grad. And, everybody, I feel like I know a ton of people that went to LSU, and I don't know if that's just because you didn't really know people, and so I didn't see a lot of horns down and people acting like, a-holes. It made it a lot more fun. It was just kind of like, hey, we don't hate you. We want to win. Now, if they had won, we probably would have seen more of that. I don't know, but it was a good time. But I'll say this, too, John, you need to know that a Texas fan had a little something to do with that LSU victory on Friday. It's late in the game. OU's trying to rally, and they're trying to get it out. LSU's at bat, and it was one out. LSU guy hits a ball down the third base line right to the corner where the fans start. And this kid wearing a Longhorn sweatshirt, he had his glove, and these OU players are trying to reach over into the crowd to get it. This kid catches the ball. It was a total Steve Bartman deal, or whatever that Bartman guy's name was in Chicago. And that prevented OU from getting the second out. And I think LSU scored again then and went on to win. So, all that said, you're welcome, LSU fans. See, we try to help you where we can. But best of luck the rest of the way. But I was nice to see a cordial interaction between the fan bases, I thought, mostly.
That's good. That is good. No, and how many people were there?
There had to be 25,000 people there.
Yeah? And half and half, as many Texas fans as LSU fans? Because LSU travels good and travels well now.
Yeah, I would say, it looked pretty even to me. Maybe 55, 45, 50, 40, whatever. It was pretty close. But yeah, it was. I thought there was a lot of it. I mean, there was a couple of college kids that were, at the end of the game.
Congrats! You get to beat Big Brother. I'm like, dude, look, our football team hadn't been very good for a while. I'll give you that, right? But Texas is have more appearances in the College World Series. We won just as many national championships as LSU has, 6. So you're over your skis here, pal. But other than that, it was pretty cordial. Anyway, it was a good time. So tip of the hat to the organizers.
Well, good. That's good to hear. Yeah, that's a big event. It's nice. Good. I haven't been in years, but congratulations. LSU did not play well. They're the 7th ranked team in the country, but they're just not playing good baseball right now.
Great. We got a story about cordial fans at an event. No fighting?
There's no fighting?
Great.
I mean,
college fans were cordial. Wonderful. That's what I'm looking for. So, how long was he on?
Did you speak of who? Longhorn Scott?
Yeah.
He was good two and a half minutes.
2.5 minutes to give us a story about college baseball where the fans were nice to each other?
Yeah.
If I was Cam, first thing you know is cut Longhorn Scott off almost immediately.
No, sit, Cam, don't do that. No, be a nice producer.
I think he only calls.
No, don't teach him your bad producer.
I think
habits.
He only calls this show. Next time he calls, have the OU fight song ready. So when he gets on one of his long droning things, you can just ramp it up and drown him out. That's what I'm about.
You have done that.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, no. Dell's done that in the past. But that's why he's a little ball of hate. Don't be a little ball of hate. Okay,
Cameron? I just think you should.
I'll play the UH fight song for
him. Or that. There you can do that for yourself because he will take shots.
Yeah, but then he'll
call you
Cougar
guys,
High.
Yeah, he'll call you 13th grade and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, you should have that ready too.
Yeah. No. OU really gets under his skin. That gets under his skin.
Yeah. That one actually bothers him. Cougar stuff, he'll just be like, oh, whatever. You're high school. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that won't help at all. All right, bottom of the hour, Randy Mueller's going to join us. I don't know if you saw. Yikes. Did you see the Mexican soccer game?
I did not, but we're getting a couple tweets about it.
Holy crap. And speaking of fans.
It was a legitimate riot.
Yes, it absolutely was. It was holy crap.
And according to reports as of, 5 or 6 hours ago, no one has been detained.
Nobody?
There are no detainees a day after the violent accident.
There was plenty of video. We got a lot of video evidence.
You got evidence.
Holy crap. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You
found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, apparently, this happened, was it Saturday? Sunday matches have been suspended. Sunday matches were suspended after, wow, some crazy video of riots at a soccer game. It was Querétaro against Atlas. And the fans just went nuts. Did you see, and this was when I went to Italy, I went to a soccer match between Roma and, Romeo and Juliet? I forget what, in whatever town it was they were playing. And the visiting fans have a section that is fenced off. The fence goes
Verona.
It's Verona? Yes. Yeah, it was Verona. It was Roma or Lazio against Roma. I forget which one it was. And the fence is 15 feet high, maybe even higher. And it keeps fans from the home team away from the visiting team.
Yes.
But they're all climbing up the fence and trying to get at each other.
Man U and Man City played over the weekend. There are no fences built into those stadiums. But depending on the back and forth, you will see like lines of security guards lining the aisle up and down on both sides to keep the fans away from each other. Yeah, but fences are a thing. You can go to Central America and see that, South America. But from what I'm watching or what I'm reading, there's some dispute about the level of violence or at least the level of tragedy, because the official reporting, according to Marca.com, hope I'm saying that right, Marca.com, the official reporting from authorities is that 22 people were injured, 9 hospitalized, 2 seriously, while the local media is claiming that 17 people died.
Right.
In the back and forth.
Well, the headline I saw was fatal soccer riot.
Yeah.
But apparently officially there are no deaths at this point.
Yeah. And and if you start reading some of the stuff now, dissecting videos and tweets, apparently the coach of Querétaro, hope I'm saying that right, Hernan Cristante.
Querétaro.
Hernan Cristante is either being accused of inciting the violence or trying to save people, depending on the video you see. Because one translation is, they're going to suspend the court. Let's go outside. We'll blow them away. Nothing happens, in one of the videos. And another one, he's allegedly trying to bring fans in to keep them from getting hurt into their locker room. So I guess he'll have things to answer for. But they say clearly, I mean, I can't understand Spanish. You'd have to play it yourself to see what's right and what's wrong. But that he was inciting, let's go out there and kick their ass pretty much, and nothing's going to happen to us.
It's a player?
No, the manager.
The manager.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I don't think if you're a manager of a team that you should be inciting a riot.
No.
Amongst the fans.
No.
It is. You got to go when you get to work or wherever you are, not while you're driving right now. Whenever you get to where you're going, go look it up. It's a wild scene, man. You want to talk. Now, how many times do we see in the stands, you know, fights between teams pregame, you know, at the tailgate, fights between fans of teams in the stands? And it's just, you know, this is kicked up like 50-fold of what a fight in the stands is in the U.S. And here's the fence thing. You see, at this stadium, they have the fence in between the two fans. Well, one guy gets through on the other side
swinging
of the fence.
A chair.
And with a chair, like a wrestling dude, and he comes up from behind and then gets pummeled
because you said one guy got through, not a group of his guys. So now the fence is down, everyone breaks through. But if you're one guy in a group of opposing fans, you're swinging a chair, you could probably get 3 or 4 swings before you're done for.
And then you just get pummeled.
Yeah.
But then they broke through the fence, and man, what a wild scene. Well, just crazy. Soccer is kind of a
passionate? There's passion. Yeah,
passionate is not the word.
Meanwhile, in the MLS, we're like, those games, second week of those games kicked off. Oh, just whatever. nothing in comparison. Like, I think Charlotte, who's a new team in the league, finally got to start playing after a bit of a holdup. They're playing where the Panthers play, so they had like 74,000 people as they were hosting. Maybe it was the Galaxy, I think, the LA Galaxy. Went off without a hitch.
Yeah.
74,000 people in the building watching the game. Well, it's just a different, depending on who's playing and the fan bases behind those teams and the rivalry associated with it, just a much different environment in different countries.
Well, speaking of which, you love
L3? Love? I don't. The soccer team, no.
Well, how about the signing of Hector Herrera here?
It's good for the Galaxy, the Dynamo. It's good for them. I don't know what it means overall, but I think did they lose over the weekend to Real Salt Lake, or was that last week?
It was yesterday.
Or Sporting KC.
Sporting KC yesterday.
Yeah. So
right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
If you say so. I guess I'll trust you on that.
Or maybe it was 92.5.
Yeah. They lost to Sporting KC yesterday on the 5th. It's a good signing for them. Notoriety, definitely a legitimate player from the Mexico national team, but it's going to be a long haul for the Dynamo as they try to repair their reputation in this city because they've been bad for a while.
Yeah.
Been poorly run for a while.
But they've got a new owner, and it looks like he's spending some money, and it looks like they're trying. They got a new coach, a new manager, and it looks like they're actually putting something into this thing finally. I heard Glenn Davison talking about Hector Herrera, and they were glowingly talking about how he's just a great teammate, and he is going to make a difference here in that locker room.
Yeah, the Dynamo they tied their first game, and then they lost yesterday, so they do have a point through two. We'll see how it goes.
Which is better than usual.
Certainly, yeah. They have been poor for
a
while.
Our soccer team has sucked.
Well, is James Harden still involved? I'd blame him for it. Isn't he like some type of owner by name only? I don't know how much investment he has in it, but I thought he was one of the ownership groups involved. So I'd blame him.
Was he the new guy doesn't have anything to do with James Harden, does he?
James Harden is, I don't know if he joined the ownership group in 2019. I believe he is a part owner. He has a minority stake. How long has this new owner been involved? Because James Harden became a part owner in 2019.
We're talking about stuff we have no idea.
It's on the website currently. So I guess
So
I think he's still part of the ownership group. Shout out to James who decided it was a back-to-back, so he does have some cover to party to the early mornings on Saturday in Miami. So, my hamstring, I can't play in the game tonight. He's still the same guy.
What is James' record in Miami?
It's not great.
Not great?
No. I know Daryl Morey is going to go out in the shield with the James Harden thing, but how can you be confident in this guy? I know the playoffs he'll play, but, you're trying to build some continuity with your team. You've been playing pretty well with Joel Embiid. You have a chance to fight for the one seed because you're going into the game. You're only two games back. I got a party in Miami. Sorry. Up till all hours of the morning on the game day. Hamstring. I can't play in the game tonight. the Sixers couched it as part of the maintenance program. He's not going to play back-to-backs. But if you're... I don't know how much seeding means to them. Joel Embiid after the game was like, we're trying to fight for the one seed. But then your star is like, hamstring. I can't go tonight. Is it because you were out all morning? Or is it because your hamstring has an issue?
He never. Listen, Daryl knows. Don't play him. How can you
feel confident about this dude?
He doesn't play. They're just, we'll take the L. You know what? We're going to take the L here.
Someone should have told Joel Embiid that. He wanted to play. I mean, you didn't hold Joel Embiid back on the second night of a back-to-back. He's out there saying, after the game, we want the one seed. And James is like, and the funny thing, it wasn't just James. He had other players with him, as you might expect. And those guys are available to play. But hamstring, maintenance for the hamstring.
You basically got him, though, for two first-round picks with Daryl Morey. Never doesn't give a rat's ass about it anyway. Seth Curry and Andre Drummond.
And you're going to end the contract that will follow when you give him a max extension.
Well, but you also got rid of Ben Simmons, big deal. Understood. And who wasn't even a part of your team.
No, I understand why you did it. I understand why.
No. But, I mean, look at what you gave. You gave up next to nothing for a chance to win.
Does James provide a real chance to win?
Yes.
Why?
This is probably the best team in the East right now.
No, they're not. They're not the best team in the East.
Oh, you just love your Heat.
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
I love you, Heat.
Yeah, you mean the team?
Oh, kiss me.
I don't know if I'd do that. That tongue thing you just did, that's weird. Yeah, they've had their top
Tyler pick. Hero, come here.
He's been pretty good. I don't know if you know this, but they've had their top four together for 17 games. Hero, Bam, Jimmy, and Kyle Lowry have played 17 games together. And still, three games up with the one seed.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Who cares?
Pretty good. All I'm telling you is, you don't call the Sixers. You know, it's great that you call the Sixers the best team in the East. Noted playoff overachievers, Joel Embiid, Doc Rivers, and James Harden. Put those three together and expect max achievement in the playoffs. Doc Rivers blown multiple 3-1 series leads, and we're going to lean on him and Embiid and Harden to get us through. Great plan.
Who's the glue?
Who?
PJ.
On the Heat. Well, PJ's the dude, the man. We know that. You know, one of our former colleagues would, you know, he did a, can I say this in the morning? He did a bro.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want to say it. Cause
he had a bromance.
Yeah, he had a bromance, but he said something else.
Yeah.
He had a bromance with PJ Tucker. PJ's always been that dude, but I can't believe people are backing the Sixers team with Doc, Joel, and James all together thinking, well, this team's clearly going to make a run. Three guys who underachieve all the time, and this is who we're backing.
That is true. But put them all together?
Yeah, of course. It'll balance each other out and cancel all the underachieving out.
826 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, Randy Mueller is going to join us here to talk about the NFL Combine, what Nick Caserio has to do. So we will get that job done on the other side. So stay with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I've been telling you about this for years now. It's my peeps over at HRP. Love Mike Holly and Chris and Kevin and Chad and all the great people over at HRP. And what they do is it's so important. And I mean, listen, the other places, they're making a lot of money. I'm telling you HRMP isn't the first to think of this. Let's consolidate all your payroll and your HR, and we'll put this all together. They're not the first ones to think about it, but they're doing it better. I can tell you this. The other ones that are doing it, they're making a bunch of money on your 401ks. They're making a bunch of money on your insurance. They're making a bunch of money on your benefits packages. While in the guise of, oh, we're giving you this payroll really, really at a great price in this HR. Well, fact of the matter is you're paying way more for those people. Here's the deal is you're going to pay less at HRP because they're going to give you options, the best options for you on your benefits packages. And they're going to take care of your taxes as well. If you're looking for the best payroll company for you, check them out. Let them customize a plan for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, former NFL GM, and he was the guy that put together this, had a big hand in putting together our undefeated championship Roughnecks team. Randy Mueller joining us this morning here on ESPN 97.5, former general manager of the year, executive of the year in the NFL when he was with the New Orleans Saints. Randy, welcome to the show. How are you? Randy there? Bring him up. Attaboy. Oh,
You gotta call him back.
Call him back, and we'll get him back up there. Anyway, we're going to talk to Randy Mueller here about what's going on at the Combine. A fast track. Now, I don't care if it's the track that made everything faster. It doesn't matter to me that it still is. There's an order of how fast guys ran.
Yes. Right?
and you can still, and you're still a really, really fast guy. Maybe you didn't run. Maybe it was a fast track and you ran a 4.26 and you would have ran a 4.2, a 4.31.
Mm-hmm.
You're still fast.
You're fast. And it just, I was going to ask him about that, how combine performances affect what you thought of a guy when he, when you've seen him on the field for 3 years. Plus,
right, exactly.
Yeah, so it looks like we'll have Randy back in a second. Cam had to get that worked out. So we'll be talking about Randy Mueller shortly.
Bring up Randy. Randy Mueller, former Saints GM, and the architect of the undefeated championship Houston Roughnecks. Randy, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you being here. Yeah, Dell and I were just talking. It's a fast track. We saw a lot of fast times, Randy. After you watch the guy, you see his film, how much does the combine, how much does it sway you in drafting a guy? Does it add any points if the guy really performs well at the combine?
Oh, I think it always helps for sure. But I would say this, and people are probably going to be disappointed when they hear this. I think for the amount of media attention that it gets, people would be shocked how little attention it gets in NFL offices, that's for sure. I think you've got to compare these guys one by one, and for that sake alone, it's valuable. There's a lot of things that you can get out of this, whether it's the interviews, and obviously we know about the medical stuff, but I don't know. These players train for this stuff. Some of them cut a lot of weight to run fast. Some of them will work out again a month later, and it won't be the same guy because their bodies will have changed. I'm one of those old school guys. I believe in the film I watch. I always used to laugh when a guy would run fast. All the scouts in the stands would say, "Oh, I hear somebody's car started. Everybody's headed back to Stillwater because he ran fast." You know, that's like it's going to change your opinion. And that really doesn't happen. There aren't guys that rise up and down draft boards because they run fast or work out good in shorts and T-shirts in Indy. But it's fun to talk about.
So, yeah, that was another question about that. So combine performances, particularly when someone tests well, they don't confirm or detract from your previous opinion of them, do they? Or do they when you watch a player?
Well, I think in some cases it adds to it. I think in most cases, though, most NFL boards are set now. I can't remember ever drafting a guy higher because he had a better three-cone time or a short shuttle time or something crazy like that. They're just comparative numbers, that's for sure. And as you guys know, in this day and age, we want to make everything objective. So there's numbers that are measured in time, and it's easier to make comparisons. It's still a subjective business. Team building is subjective. Evaluating is subjective. And so I don't think there's a giant display of a different skill set than you haven't seen on film. Let's face it, they're not playing football. They're not going to play any more football before we draft them. So unless we're going to be swayed by different athletic tests, and as they used to call them, the underwear Olympics, I just don't see how it's, a real factor other than it can confirm, like you said, some things. But I think it's more valuable for some positions than others. I'll leave it at that.
Hmm. Randy Mueller with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Does it mean anything when a 340-pound guy runs a 4.71? I mean, he's not going to – it's not like – I know what it means. I want my cornerbacks fast, and I want my wide receivers fast. Do I want my defensive tackle fast?
Well, it's impressive. I'll give him that. It's fun to watch a big man move like that, but you're never going to see him run without his pads on and any 40 yards on a football field. It's just not realistic. So I think you've got to really dial it back as to what you see. Sometimes if you let that affect you, you may make a mistake in that you may draft a guy a couple rounds too high because of the fact that he can run, for 40 yards in shorts and t-shirts. And that, again, it's not equatable to the football field. So I think it's fun to watch. I think it's, like I said, he gets a lot of attention. It's really become a for TV event. But like I said, the NFL teams themselves are going to take this with a grain of salt and really going to study the film even further. And that's where they're going to find their answers, not on a workout in a dome in March.
So Randy Mueller here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Robert Saleh didn't show up and is catching it, the Jets head coach. And Sean McVay and Les Snead don't show up, and it's fine because they just won the Super Bowl. But Saleh's catching some grief. Is it important that the head coach is there?
I really don't think it is, I'll be honest with you. I don't see any problem with him not being there. I think he can get all of the medical information, which we always do. He'll get all the interviews via Zoom. I don't know that you can evaluate in that setting, and I'm not sure that a head coach especially, I'm not sure I want the Indy Combine to be his first chance to evaluate anybody. They haven't had time in a lot of cases to study the tape like the scouts and the personnel people have, so I don't see a problem with it, to be honest with you. I think we'll see a lot more coaches not come. It's almost like the Senior Bowl. A lot of teams are leaving their coaches behind with regard to that, too, because they don't want that to be the first review that somebody has after having not played in a month and a half. So a lot of ways to look at it. I don't think it's a critical component to have your head coach there. I would be there as a general manager, though, because there's a lot of other things going on around there that help within your building your team. But I couldn't beat up Robert Saleh for this one, that's for sure.
Randy, you used the phrase made-for-TV event, and I don't think there's anything more perfect than that when describing what people like us see. When you the stuff off television, the medicals and the interviews, how big of a part does that play in determining a guy's spot on your board?
Well, I think it all adds up. I don't think it plays a giant role. Obviously, the medical stuff does. Now, that's a whole other can of worms. That stuff every year that gets kind of glossed over because no one wants to watch a physical being given on TV, but that's the most important thing. I do think the interviews are second, and it's not as much as what these kids say within that 15-minute window that you get them, but it's kind of how they handle the whole process. For me as a GM, I would like to see how guys attack that room, how the personality comes out or not, how they communicate, and just get a little flavor of how they might learn. We always try to teach them something in that 15 minutes, and then at the end of it, they have to bring it back to us, just see how they can learn. But let's be honest, some of these kids meet with 10 or 12 teams every night. Their heads are mush. So I always like to say part of the process is the process. I want to see how they handle it. After he's been with 8 other teams, how does he handle your room at 10:30 at night after an exhaustive day? Those are the kind of tests I like to see, and you can just observe that kind of stuff. Some are better at it than others when tired, when run down. Some look at it as a job interview. They come in ready to go. Others are just going through it to get it over. So there's a lot of things that can be, you know, obviously important that you don't see on TV, not to mention the communications with agents and players and everybody outside the building with regard to just putting your plan together as a team builder.
You talked about the process. Is the process too long? The draft is April 28th. Does much change between April 1st and the 28th that the draft couldn't take place at the start of April?
Yeah, no, not really. I'd like to see him snug that window up, and I think a lot of NFL teams would as well. Yet what ends up happening is this, just selfish speaking, you end up finding reason to second-guess yourself because you have so much time. I do think you've got to allow, probably this year more than ever before, a lot of people didn't work out, so you're going to have a lot of pro days, so you're going to have to gather information for the next month, but I see no right reason they couldn't move that draft up a week or two, and it wouldn't harm anybody, that's for sure. Although, you know, the league has a big picture attack, a big picture view. They want to see free agency play itself out. So the calendar is made up with a lot more things, you know, involved than probably the three of us sitting down and mapped it out. So I trust that they know what they're doing. I'd love to see the time shrunk down, though, because it would save a lot of teams a lot of hassle running all over the country, looking at pro team or pro days at individual colleges. I just don't know how much you can gather after a certain point. I think it comes down to just let's line them up and let's pick them the way we see them.
Randy Mueller with us here, former NFL GM and Executive of the Year in the NFL and the architect of the championship, Houston Roughneck. I gave us the championship. I gave us the title last year, Randy. Okay, so I don't know if you got your – I didn't get my ring yet, but I'm hoping you get yours. You get yours soon. If you get it, let me know. Randy, if you're Nick Caserio, last year he put together a team with a bunch of journeymen, older, one-year veterans, no big names. There's some decent names out there, but you're in the position that the Texans are in right now. You don't spend any big money, long-term deals on any big names, do you?
I don't think that would be, you know, prudent at this point. I think they see that they've done their own self-assessment. They still have a ways to go. I think what Nick and his staff are doing now is trying to identify some younger ascending players, from other teams that may not have gotten opportunity, may have slipped through the cracks due to injury or something like that. I could see them signing one of those guys to a 2 or 3 year deal, that being the longest term you could probably get a commitment from those guys on. So I think you're right. I don't think, unless it's at a position that's really a top priority, you know, we don't know what's going to happen at left tackle, but that's what I'm referring to. Maybe a corner. Obviously, the quarterback thing has to be cleared up. That's a black cloud that's just hanging over everybody right now. Hopefully, at some point, they move on and figure out what that plan is. But I think you're right. I think this is more of a long-term process for them. They've got to have a good, solid draft again and try to piece some of this together with a combination of you know, ascending young talent and a few guys that have been around the block, but not necessarily long-in-the-tooth type guys.
Mm-hmm. And if, I mean, as much as you can, do you trade down to get more picks?
Oh, I think that's possible. I think it is a draft this year that has some depth in it. You ought to be able to get legitimate starting players in the second and third round this year. If they can acquire picks, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You got to be a little careful because that sounds like a great idea, but depending on the depth of the draft, you don't want to trade out of the good players either. So I don't see it, you know, as being an end-all. If they can't trade back, they just got to use every possible way they can to acquire players and just kind of build it brick by brick. That takes a hard time. One thing about signing a player is sometimes when you do kind of overpay and sign a bigger name guy, it kind of opens up the floodgates for others to see you different. So the perception is the hardest thing they have to overcome there. We know all the chaos and everything that's happened there the last couple of years. They've got to find a way to overcome perception, and that's a hard one. I don't know if I have the exact answer for the right route to take. I do know the quarterback thing has to get cleared up, as all the rest of us do.
Randy, we had a back and forth on Friday about the quarterback and what would best help him if all things were equal. Say the Texans are in the second round. Maybe they take a tackle in the first round. Is a premier running back or premier receiver better for a young quarterback?
I think you can find running backs. I'll be honest with you. I don't think you have to pick one up high to have an effect on your quarterback and your offense. I think in this case, when you're talking about receivers, this is going to be true, and it's been true for the last 20 years. Everybody says there's a ton of receivers. Speed is the thing that stands out. So if you don't find a fast guy, that's going to be the hardest thing. Those guys are going to disappear quickly. The fast guys always get drafted early, and sometimes it's a couple rounds early. So when you say there's and I'm not saying you guys say that, but we hear all these depths of receivers this year, I'm telling you, the fast guys are going to disappear. So if you can find a way to add that skill set to your mix, that's going to help your quarterback because that can be as effective as a good running game. Even when you don't throw the ball deep to that receiver, they change the way they defend him and your offense. So I think adding speed is as good sometimes as adding a playmaker.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wholeheartedly agree. But I think the discussion was more about a running game versus a running back.
Well, if we're but the second round pick was kind of the line.
Yeah, right.
Would you take, like, for example, we were talking about Breece Hall, or maybe if George Pickens slipped or something of that nature. It could. Yeah.
I think you can never go wrong with that regard, but I think you've got to have your criteria set as to what we want to be on offense. And I've known this. If we have an average running back, but we have a receiver that can force teams to have to play too high and not be worried about us running by him, that's going to help our running game as well.
Yep, true that. That's Randy Mueller right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Randy, we really appreciate it. Have you been contacted by the new XFL?
You know, we've had a lot of dialogue. A lot of people in that league have worked for me. That's the negative about being around like I have. Those guys all worked for me at some point in my NFL career. So we'll see how it works out.
Well, that's great. See, you got to be nice to the guys on the way up, right? That's just, yeah. you know that one. Because, yeah, how about that? All those guys that you had and in New Orleans, and now they're all big shots in the XFL. That's great stuff. Yeah. Randy Mueller, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We really appreciate you being on, Randy, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, there's Randy Mueller, 846 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We can talk on the other side about there is some interesting stuff a couple of stories, Texan stories related. We will do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, according to story reports, the Panthers and the Commanders, The Commanders went all in on Russell Wilson.
They're desperate.
And did not get him. I'm like, I'm Taylor Heineke. I'm going, really, dude? What are you desperate about?
We've seen you play. That's why we're desperate.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You see me play against Tom Brady and almost beat him in the playoffs?
Yeah, and then how did this year go when you had all the starts?
Well, guess what? How about putting some people around me?
You think not enough people are the issue around him? Or he's the issue?
It might be him.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you had your druthers, Panthers or Commanders, I'm going to go.
Look at the interloper who's called in.
Oh, my gosh. Why is he?
He called in. What's he want?
Oh, I thought he was on a plane. Okay. Why is a guy, someone named Lance, calling into this radio show? Well, bring him up. Hello, Lance?
No, I was never. I heard that Taylor Heineke is just a couple pieces away from being a really good quarterback.
Really,
and I wanted to expound on that.
Yeah, no, go on. Tell us.
Oh, yeah? Did you say
I wanted John to. I was like, wait a minute. The magic's right there. The secret sauce is right there.
Did you see him in the playoffs? Clutch.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
His almost win was amazing.
It was amazing.
How many points did they score in that game? Like 15 or something?
And against that defense? Probably he played better than Mahomes did against them.
They're a Heineke away from.
It's all. Listen, he played better. He played better than Mahomes did that year against them.
Here's the thing: Colts need to trade for Heineke.
That you damn right.
I don't
they
know.
Do.
I'm looking for.
That's my guy. I'm ODU, looking, baby.
I'm looking for a Mills Heineke battle.
I saw him. Honestly, me and JT went to the game. It was before JT got to Rice. We went to see Taylor Heineke just dominate Rice team.
And
if you're going to do that.
Are you talking about the end of the bailiff era Rice versus Taylor Heineke is what you're talking about?
That wasn't at the end of the Baylor. It was before JT got there.
It's still the end of
it. It was good close, but yeah. Yeah, no. But listen, I think they're just fine with Taylor Heineke. But if they want Deshaun for a boatload.
They want Russell Wilson.
So you
no, they did want it. Russell Wilson. There's no question.
So you think they're just fine? What do you have, a futures bet on the Giants or something? Why are you saying they're just fine with Taylor Heineke?
No.
You got a bet for anyone else but the Commanders to win the NFC East? Why you're backing them?
Okay, just give them a shot. Just
give who a shot?
I hate when we just
they
give
gave
up
him
on
a shot.
Guys.
Once they brought in old man Fitz and he like broke his hip in week one, he had a shot the entire way. You saw
Ron Rivera literally at the combine said, "We will find a quarterback by any and all means necessary." It's literally the most anti-Taylor Heineke stamp that's ever been placed on him.
He was 7-8-0, which is pretty good as a full-time starter for your first time. He threw for 3,400, 20 TDs, and just 15 interceptions.
Just 15 to 20 touchdowns. Just 15.
Yeah, huh.
The 20-15 ratio is what you shoot for.
Well, yeah. Forget it.
Why did you call?
That's the point. Don't allow him to distract. What are you doing calling the show?
What
aren't
you
here?
I'm about to be there in like 3 minutes. I got to do a podcast, a TV, a mock draft. Is due at 1. I've got 4 things I have to do today.
Wait a minute.
And I got back.
You're already back. You got back last night.
I got back last night.
And you're not even doing your radio show?
Well, you want me to do the show until 8? I have a podcast I have to do for Athletic at 8:30.
Why do you have to
literally
do it at 8:30?
Taking a vacation day once again to work. The hardest working man in the country.
Let's do some investigating. Is the podcast your main job? Is that your main job now?
No, that's why I took a vacation day.
So he's using the podcast as an excuse.
So that
I had to take a vacation day.
Wow. So he would rather do the podcast than do this, is what you're saying.
No, I'd rather not have to do the podcast today, but I'm contractually obligated and I have to do TV. We really want to know the truth.
Yeah.
I have a mock draft I have to finish by 1 o'clock and then TV at 1. It's impossible to do. I tried it on the plane. No Wi-Fi. Sucked.
Do you think there's some time?
Post-wrap-up combine stuff. And by the way, we stop with all this. This combine is the fastest combine ever. Yeah, they put a new turf down.
We saw
your summer of 2020.
Somebody's in your position.
Oh my God!
Like somebody's justifying their
his awful,
prediction
wrong
that they were
gonna,
everybody was going to be
what
slow
predictions?
This year.
I mean, like seriously, 12 offensive linemen ran sub-5, and no one's looking at that. A 400-pound defensive lineman ran a 4.5. No one thinks. Wide receivers are all running in the low 4.3s. First time ever in the history ever. No one looked into this. I made one
did
call.
You
like,
look
did
into
you
it before you made
turf?
Your prediction?
Yeah. We switched out our turf. Oh, well, that makes sense now. I told two different people, one on my network and one on another, and no one wants to mention it publicly because they just like the, you know, they just like the narrative that this is the fastest group that's ever lived. I'm like, surely people can't just look at every time the fastest ever at every position and think that this is just normal.
Sounds
like surely
QAnon
people can't
Lance.
Think that.
Are you part of QAnon with your conspiracy theories? Did you do your research?
No, other people are.
Did you do your
other
research before you made your terrible prediction?
What terrible prediction?
The one that no one would run.
Yeah, here's
three.
What I didn't predict. I didn't predict there would be literally 45 people run below a 4-4.
Well, someone did your research.
Yeah.
Do your research.
Yeah. How about know the game?
Know the
No, I swear to God. Well,
you know
they didn't put up any. You know there was no prop bets actually put up anywhere. Like you couldn't fire. I wish you could have. I wish I would have had that knowledge. But no one actually put up a prop bet anywhere that I looked.
I'm hearing a lot of excuses for your awfulness.
Well, we talked about the over-overs. Oh, you couldn't bet on them anywhere?
We talked about draft prop bets, but you couldn't.
You couldn't bet on
them. They never even posted it on any of the places that I look at locally. No one ever posts the draft props.
Yeah.
I mean, combine props.
Right.
I'm like, what are the combine props?
You're not allowed to bet on the NFL anyway.
Listen.
No, but I wanted to see what they were.
How about this? How do you feel about this all so important week that coaches aren't even showing up to anymore? Nobody
one
nobody
coach
cares.
Of a losing team. By the way, Randy Mueller is not correct on some of the stuff he was telling.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you.
He was an NFL GM, but okay.
These things absolutely do move some people up. When you see Trayvon Walker, when you see where he gets drafted, then come at me and tell me that the combine didn't matter. It's not because of the 40 time. It's because he has 35-inch arms. It's because he was a very loose, agile player who moved, changed directions well in the field drills. Like, it's all of it. It's not just a 40 time, but it's the way he tested people who are invested in traits, which is a ton of teams now are traits-based. They see this and they say, okay, at Georgia, they never had him rush off the perimeter, but we see enough athletically that we believe he is going to be able to rush off the perimeter. Trevor Penning is going to go way up the draft because of the combine. Now, I will say, Randy's right. Teams already, and this is something else you have to say, too. you know, yes, GMs and scouts lock their grades in. They force them to lock in, but then coaches don't get involved until the combine. And so this is where coaches start to push on guys and say, hey, I want this guy. Hey, what about this guy? What about this guy? So the combine is the first look for most coaches at any of these players in the draft. They don't really know these players yet. So guys do get pushed up because of the combine. And they will get pushed down if they run slow, especially on this blazing fast track.
Someone tweeted at us, and I think it's perfect. Lance had 4 things to do today. But work at his job ain't one of them.
No, I took a vacation day. To work.
To work someplace else.
To work.
Yeah, to work at another at someplace else. Not at your main job.
Okay, poker boy. Okay, golf boy.
Well,
stop.
He plays golf.
Go get in a jet somewhere and fly away to a magical destination.
Well, sure, but he's not
grinding.
But he's not working at ABC 13. Yeah, he does golf.
That's not working.
Did I take off today to play poker?
No, you did not take off today. You have done it to play golf.
Oh, yeah, I have done that.
Yeah, multiple times.
And poker, actually. At the World Series.
Oh, you did do that, too. I forgot.
I never mind.
He's taking off for golf and poker, literally.
All right. Beat it.
Is
that, all right?
You just wanted to call and refute Randy Mueller's statements? That's what this was about?
What?
All you did, you wanted to call in just to take shots at Randy Mueller?
That's it.
Is that what this was?
No, that's not what I wanted to do.
But he wanted to justify his slow prediction.
Yeah. Well, look at this clown.
He's right here.
How hard
He's
you work.
In the building.
You're carrying that bag like.
Somebody said we gotta put together a GoFundMe page for your clothing.
That well, yeah.
A GoFundMe page for your clothing to buy you some clothes.
I had one button-up shirt.
That's it. 859 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Randy Mueller's like, what else? Sorry. I was an NFL GM. Okay, maybe I know what I'm talking about.
Not according to NFL.com. Hey, Lance Erline.
Hey, Draft Boy.
Yeah. Hey, watch it, Draft Boy.
Time to talk about. Oh my goodness, I'm seeing people, and I got my email from Ford, and it said I'm gonna be putting together my Lightning F-150 pretty darn soon, and I can't wait. The thing is that I'm gonna get guidance from Chastain Ford. They're gonna help me along the way. I'm gonna tell them where I need to be and on my payments every single month, and then we're going to work it out is exactly what I can get, customize it to exactly how I want it, not how the dealership. And listen, Chastain Ford doesn't care what you get in your vehicle. You can get it bare bones. Get it however you want your car. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. How about 0% finance? I was telling this to somebody, and I said, right now at Chastain Ford, zero down, zero payments, 0% financing for 60 months. And they were like, are you crazy? That is not happening in the car business anymore. And I'm like, oh, yes, it is. It's happening to Chastain Ford, and zero markup and zero add-ons, because Chastain Ford just wants to get you the vehicle that, at the best price that you can possibly get it at. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's one place to get it. Go see my peeps over at Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all online at ChastainFord.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.